Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Monday, July 6, 2020. Working from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney from my home studio just north of New York City. Well, a name change is coming in Cleveland. The baseball franchise announced a review of its 105-year-old name, the Indians, on Friday because of that racist history attached to that name. On Sunday, manager Terry Francona talked about the coming change.
I know in the past when I've been asked about whether it's our name or the Chief Wahoo, I think I would usually answer and say I know that we're never trying to be disrespectful. And I still feel that way. But I don't think that's a good enough answer today. I think it's time to move forward and not just say, hey, this is, you know, it's a very difficult subject. It's also delicate. And sometimes, like the way I think I leave the American League in errors made in life, which I'm not necessarily proud of. I guess, even at my age, you don't want to be too old to learn or to realize that maybe I've been ignorant of some things and to be ashamed of it and to try to be better. I mean, Chris and I and Cherney, we've talked about this for years, you know, by ourselves. Doesn't have to be a meeting. I'm glad that we're going to be open to listening, because I think that's probably the most important thing right now is being willing to listen, not necessarily just talk.
We'll speak with David Schoenfield and Sarah Langs about that, and we'll run through the list of possible names that the Cleveland franchise would be called going forward, and we'll hit on some other topics as well. And there's a lot going on around baseball. On Friday, Major League Baseball announced that 38 of those checked among players and staffers, 1.2%, had tested positive. Just in talking with folks around the game, they found some hope that those numbers were lower than what they expected. However, over the weekend, we got a lot more names. Freddie Freeman, three other Braves players were among those who tested positive. Reliever Will Smith, Tuki Toussaint, and Pete Cosma also were diagnosed with coronavirus. Freddie Freeman was away from the team because he had a high temperature. That temperature reportedly came down on Sunday. So good news there. There's so much uncertainty among players, among staffers around baseball. And we heard a lot of that in the voices, folks who spoke publicly, including Mike Trout. This is Mike Trout on Friday.
Honestly, still don't feel comfortable. Obviously with the baby coming, there's a lot of stuff going through my mind right now, my wife's mind, my family, just trying to be the safest and most cautious way to get through a season. My mindset is to play. I want to play. It's just a tough situation. I got to play it by ear. You never know what could happen tomorrow or the next day. There's an outbreak or just a lot of questions I don't know the answers to. We want to play. It's going to come down to how safe we're going to be. If there's an outbreak or something happens, these next few weeks, I definitely got to reconsider. There's a lot of questions. I love baseball, but I got to do what's right for my family sometimes. And, majority of the time, I got to do everything for my family.
He was Sean Doolittle, the Nationals reliever, in speaking with reporters on a Zoom call on Sunday.
Yeah, as I sit here talking to you guys, I still don't have my test results from Friday's test. So, I got tested again this morning without knowing the results of my test from Friday. So we got to clean that up, right? So that's one thing that makes me a little nervous.
Dave Martinez, the Nationals manager, was very blunt on Friday and speaking with reporters.
Well, I don't know, but we're going to do our best to keep everybody safe. We really are. These long days are meant to keep everybody away from each other right now with social distancing. Wearing masks. Our coaching staff is wearing masks on the field. So we're trying to do everything we can to keep these guys safe. We're getting tested quite often. So we're going to do everything we can to keep everybody that's involved safe.
Here's Max Scherzer talking about how stringent the health and safety protocol are being adhered to as we start off.
You were hearing about the protocols and everything that was going to be happening. Uh, you, you know, until you actually get in here and see it, yeah, it's extensive. Just everything you got to do. I mean, they're thinking about every little thing. You know, we're wearing masks, you know, everywhere inside, keeping distance, keeping some groups small right now. You can't really touch anything. I mean, they even have the bottle of water. It's out. It's warm, and they can't even get it in a fridge. So they've really thought of everything of how to mitigate the risk here. So for me, I feel very, very safe being in this clubhouse, given the testing that we have as well.
Giants catcher Buster Posey is unsure about what he's going to do in terms of playing the season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's still some reservation on my end as well. I think I want to see kind of how things progress here over the next couple of weeks. I think it would be a little bit maybe naive or silly not to gauge what's going on around you, and not only around you here, but you know, paying attention to what's happening in the country and different parts of the country. Obviously unprecedented times right now. So yeah, most definitely I've thought about it and talked about it with my wife quite a bit.
Now, over the weekend, Dodgers pitcher David Price announced that he will not play this season. He did that in an Instagram post, citing the best interests of his and his family's health. Felix Hernandez, the future Hall of Famer who's with the Atlanta Braves in his first season with the Braves this year after beginning his career with the Seattle Mariners, announced that he is opting out of trying to make the Braves because of virus concerns. Major League Baseball on Friday formally announced that the 2020 All-Star Game has been canceled. The Dodgers were to host this year. They will now host the 2022 All-Star Game. Masahiro Tanaka of the Yankees was hit by a line drive in throwing live batting practice on Saturday. He went down in a heap but walked off under his own power, and he's been diagnosed with what Aaron Boone referred to as a mild concussion. We're going to be talking with David Schoenfield about that coming up, but first,
you can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you got to check out NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting preventive.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, mate.
Welcome to the show. Whoa!
Welcome to the show, baby.
You're in the show with David Schoenfield.
David Schoenfield covers baseball for ESPN. And David, first off, how you doing?
We're hanging in there, Buster. We're counting down, I guess, hopefully, huh?
Yeah, it's incredible. Less than 3 weeks away. I'm just starting to really dive into my Sunday night baseball preparation. You know, when the schedule is announced later today, the full expectation is that our first broadcast will be the Yankees at the Washington Nationals. We'll have Max Scherzer pitching against Gerrit Cole, I would have presumed. So that's fun to think about. And it's also Look, and we'll get to the in a moment to the Indians' decision to review their name, but it seems like a fait accompli at this point. You're not going to announce that, as Adam Schefter talked about the Washington Redskins announcement the other day, unless you intend to change it. And so, just for starters, I want to throw some possibilities of new names at you. How does that sound?
All right, let's do it. I'm curious to see what you came up with.
All right, so we're going to go back, of course, into the team's history, which I think eventually they'll probably draw on as they come up with potential names. But they at one point were known as the Cleveland Blues. Then, of course, you have the Cleveland Spiders, who are go down in history as being the least successful team ever, 1899. What, 136 losses and like 20 wins, some terrible record. Over the weekend, we heard about the Cleveland Dobies. I actually, someone in the Indians organization mentioned that possibility to me. Larry Doby, the first African-American player in American League history in 1947. That would be the name in honor of him. Then you have the Four Cities, which is the what the team was named back in the 1870s or 1880s, going back then. Then I heard over the weekend, and this was forwarded by Scott Miller from our longtime ESPN colleague, Charlie Steiner. How about the Cleveland Rocks? Okay. And then you have the Cleveland Rockers. Right. And then you might like the Lake Shores was another name in their history. I kind of wondered about the Lake Monsters, you know, because the Vermont Lake Monsters are a team near and dear to my heart, and I'm worried about their future, and maybe Lake Monsters would be a name that would be considered by this team. But then Paul Imbakides, our friend, reminded me that there is a hockey team in Ohio named the Monsters, a minor league hockey team, so I don't know if we'd be excited about that. And by the way, Vermont Lake Monsters are named such because of Champ, who is the theoretical prehistoric creature who lives in Lake Champlain. And there is a similar creature, according to legend, in Lake Erie called Bessie, a creature said to be about 30 to 40 feet long. So Lake Monsters would be appropriate. I suspect that there are going to be some other possibilities thrown out there. Among those, which jumped out at you?
Well, okay. First of all, there's no doubt there's something living in Lake Erie, right? But Lake Monsters, Lake Monsters sounds a little minor league-ish to me. Not bad. Good option.
Well, yeah, because there's a minor league team called the Lake Monsters. Let's
right.
go.
And yeah, and you know, with the, having a hockey team already in the state, I think let's rule that one out. We got to rule out spiders. I mean, nobody likes spiders, right?
Wait. I'm going to tell you. I've asked various people who I cannot name, like, which names do you like? And spiders came back from baseball people as being somewhat favored.
Look, I'll say this. There's no other spiders out there, right? I can't think of any college team that's nicknamed the Spiders. No minor league teams. So it is unique, but it would be unique for a reason. Nobody likes spiders. Although you have a built-in mascot, you got some good merchandise sales there.
Yeah.
So I will admit it's a strong possibility. Rockers does make a lot of sense. Obviously, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in Cleveland, so that ties into the city. I think that's a name that fans would be willing to accept. My personal favorite is the Forest Cities. I would like to, you know, redo the entire color scheme. There's too many teams that are red-based in MLB, so we could do like a cool dark green uniform, tear things up, start kind of from scratch, Forest Cities. You can have like a nice tree as your logo. Come on.
So you want to go way back in history with the Four Cities. It's funny. Among the possibilities, that was the one I dismissed the first, and that's your first choice. And by the way, you didn't respond to Cleveland Rocks. I love that.
I kind of laughed at that. But yeah, and like Rockers is almost too easy.
Right.
But Rocks, yeah, you know, yeah. Why not? Cleveland Rocks. Obviously,
what about the Dobies?
I see Josh is a big boulder, so there you go.
Our colleague Joel Sherman of the New York Post wrote about the Dobies today, and it just doesn't sound good to me. Like, it doesn't sound like the name of a team.
Yeah, I mean, That's kind of a tough one. Like you said, doesn't really sound like a baseball team, but a great acknowledgement to the team's history and his place in baseball history.
Taylor, among all the names that we've talked about, which one has jumped out to you?
I kind of like Forest City. I'm kind of with you, David, there.
Wow.
I feel like, I mean,
you guys are psycho.
This is very like European football, but Forest City Baseball Club would be a fun name. I know that's outside of the, you know, kind of the standard template, but I also like the Spiders too. Spiders is good. Just throw it back to the old name and let's move on. Lake Monsters would be good too, but I feel like it's overused in a lot of different ways. So,
okay. I will tell you, I think it's going to wind up being the Spiders. And over the weekend, I saw some people were throwing out on social media some of the logos that were there. Pretty cool. Like, I like the logos. What about you, Dave?
We laugh at that, but that's actually, you know, an important thing to consider. You know, what goes on the hat, what's on the uniform, that's part of the team's identification. And, yeah, as much as I like Forest City's a tree, you know, you can only do so much with a tree. So maybe it is Spiders.
And I tell you what, Taylor, because this conversation is happening now, let's get Todd Radom on the show tomorrow.
Ooh, I like it.
As someone who knows this a lot better than any of us do. Like, that's his business. So if you can get him on the show tomorrow, we'll bring him in and we'll ask for his opinions and some feedback, because he always talks about sense of place when he does this. And you know, who knows? Maybe the Lake Monsters will pick up some steam here as we go. I think you would agree with me, Dave. Look, it was inevitable that this was going to come. When they eliminated Chief Wahoo 3 years ago, you knew that eventually the ownership would get to this point. I've talked to people in that organization who've been uncomfortable with it for years.
Yeah, it's time. And look, I know there's going to be a large percentage of the fan base. I have friends in Cleveland, and a lot of them want to keep the name. People, you'll get over it. You know, once the name is changed, you'll be fine. You're not going to stop going to Cleveland baseball games just because they change their nickname. That's ridiculous. That's your team. You're going to stick with it no matter the nickname. Let's do it. It's time. It's going to happen.
One other one I just remembered that I saw on social media over the weekend. You like the Wild Things with an S. You like that one as a possibility?
No, that would be at the absolute bottom of the list.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, when we get Todd on Tuesday, then we'll ask him what he thinks about Wild Things and about the Blues and about the Rocks and about the Spiders. And maybe he'll be the tie-breaking vote, because that's what he does.
All right. Yeah, we need to hear from him.
There we go. All right. So over the weekend, boy, such a range of news and a range of feelings. It was so, day after day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and talking with people around baseball, it was like a roller coaster of emotions. First off, on Friday, when the first test results were announced by Major League Baseball at 1.2%, you know, I asked, sent text out to folks around the game asking, well, how do you feel? And uniformly, the response was, well, that was a little bit lower than I expected. I thought the numbers would be worse. And then on Friday, we hear that Freddie Freeman is sick. And that really, I think, shook people around the game. And on Saturday, we saw that David Price dropped out. And we saw that Felix Hernandez dropped out. And you heard the uncertainty in the voice of Buster Posey in talking about playing this year. The day after, Mike Trout spoke with him, some uncertainty. And yesterday, really, I was on the Zoom call with the Nationals when Sean Doolittle was on there, the reliever, and he talked about feeling like he needs to be aware of his mental health, because he spoke of how exhausting this whole thing was. And that really struck me when I heard him say that, because that's the way it does feel.
Yeah, it's so true. And I remember back to, you know, the first few days back in March when we were here in Connecticut, you know, locked down. And there's no doubt everybody's anxiety level back then was up a little bit. So as baseball players, think about what they're going through or will go through with all the constant travel and hotel rooms. They're going to be out there and exposed to it no matter how much they try to avoid things. So there's going to be some risk. And I'm with you. You know, Freeman, it wasn't even just that he tested positive, but it's that he was sick and had a high fever Fortunately, they said yesterday that that's gone down. But yeah, that's a huge wake-up call. And I'm with you. As much as that 1.2% was positive, I think the NBA was closer to 7%. Players are still scared, you know, and I feel bad for Felix Hernandez. I was down there. I saw his last game back in March before we got shut down. He was pitching really well, you know, maybe this last chance to extend his career. And now he might be done. This might be it for, you know, one of the great pitchers of his, you know, generation. We don't know if he can come back next year. So a lot of this is starting to hit home, like you said, Buster.
Yeah. And you know, what I've done in doing the reporting on this is I've asked a lot of different people in different places that, you know, to almost be like the people I check in with. And I explained, I just want to get a feel for how you think this is going. So I'll reach out to, you know, five or six people a day and say, how's it going in your camp? And it's really interesting how there's such different reactions. Where in one camp yesterday, a person was talking about, you know, it's been really positive. Like the players are coming in here and they're getting their work in and everyone's social distancing and everyone's wearing masks and it's no problem. In other camps, it's not that way. And I've heard, you know, from folks in those camps, you know, that's in their minds, it's less than 50% that you even get to the start of the season. One person said 0% chance we get to the start of the season. He talked about the health and safety protocol as having being like Swiss cheese because there are just so many holes. Yesterday, and watching Sean Doolittle, in the midst of that, you know, he picked up his phone. He said, let me give you an example. And he looked at his phone and goes, nope, haven't gotten the results back. I took a test on Friday. I was supposed to get the results yesterday. Still haven't gotten the results. And he said, we have to clean this up. Dave, I get, you know, when I tweet out these stories from these reactions from guys like Trout and like Posey and Sean Doolittle, a lot of fans will tweet back and say, you know, hey, what about baseball? This is not baseball. No, I'm sorry. In 2020, this is baseball.
Yeah.
Because this is top of mind for so many people involved.
Yeah, this is where we're at, people. And, you know, we've said this before, you know, when we hear a David Price pulling out, you cannot fault any player for not wanting to play, you know, this season. I just saw a Zach Wheeler, the Phillies. He's in the same boat as Mike Trout. His wife is due July 24th, first day of the season. So he's definitely going to miss, you know, the first season. But he's hesitant on what he wants to do. All that is perfectly understandable. You know, these guys are not going to be in a bubble like they're trying to do at the NBA. They're going to be traveling. They're going to be going back home to their families. Players that have young kids or pregnant wives, you know, you're putting them at risk. So I hear Sean Diddle. I didn't watch the video, but I saw his quotes, and I think we can all relate to it. We are all going through this.
So another thing happened over the weekend, which I think the response to it really also reflected the current anxiety that is really infected the sport. Masahiro Tanaka was pitching live batting practice at Yankee Stadium. He didn't have an L screen up, the protective L screen that you see some pitchers have. And by the way, after the fact, I got a lot of texts from people with other organizations saying, what in the world were they doing? How come he didn't have the L screen up? It really is up to Tanaka. He didn't have the L screen. Giancarlo Stanton hits a line drive back through the box, 112 miles per hour. It hits Tanaka on the head. He goes sprawling on the ground. He eventually gets up, walks off under his own power. The Yankees are saying that he has a mild concussion. But in the aftermath of that, there were Yankee players angry that photographers and cameramen were taking pictures and capturing images of this and sending out video. And it moved Aaron Judge actually to send out a tweet complaining about that, saying, what is that? You know, guys lying on the ground and you're taking an image of it. And my first thought was, boy, everybody is so on edge right now. Of course, there are people that if it was a regular spring training game, if it was a regular spring training site, or if it was during the regular season, that's what happens. These guys are in a business that's being covered by media. Of course, someone's going to capture an image of it, but maybe that's just a reflection of the time.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The photographers are just doing their job, but you're right. I mean, Everybody is on edge. In fact, I was getting a piece ready for the schedule release, and I'm thinking, so when the Dodgers play the Astros for the first time, or Mike Fiers pitches against Houston, and there's a pitch high and tight, and I know the new rules are, you know, no brawls, no interaction during games, but everybody's going to be on edge, you know, no matter what. And yeah, nerves are already frayed, you know, so whether it's an incident like this, a potential beanball incident during a game, if we ever get to games, it just adds to the confusion of this season.
I think you would agree with me that the answer to the question that we're all getting all the time about, you know, okay, what's the tipping point? If more players drop out, if more players test positive, I think you would agree with me that we'll know when we get to that moment. Like, it'll become very clear to everybody, kind of like when Rudy Gobert tested positive, everybody in sports knew, okay, this is a big deal and we need to shut down to protect people. I think in this moment, if you get a player who gets really sick or, you know, God forbid worse, or if there's an explosion of numbers, I think everyone will know. That was kind of the words I was getting back from teams yesterday. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because I'm sure you get asked by friends and family, and I keep getting asked, what is that number? You know, if it's five players per team that test positive, 10, 3, you know, that we don't know. And obviously the commissioner, you know, in the new bylaws, there's something in there about the competitive integrity of the season can come into play and they can cancel the season. But yeah, we don't know what that specific number is. I think you're right. It's a feeling out process. 1.2%, if they keep it at that level, that's great. We can play a season. But how much higher before they can't play the season? I don't know.
You know, I respect your love for baseball, and I got to think more about four cities as today goes along. Because I'm telling you, I was like, nah, that's no good. And now after hearing you, after hearing Taylor, I'm beginning to second guess myself.
Well, like Taylor said, it sounds kind of like a European soccer name. But hey, Buster, we've been hearing since we were kids, soccer is the sport of the future. Yet baseball somehow keeps trudging along.
Exactly. All right, David, thank you.
You bet, Buster.
Before we get to Sarah Langs today on ESPN Daily, chess grandmasters train just like other elite athletes. Top players work out several hours a day to prepare for matches that go on forever. Extreme chess training on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Numbers Game.
Sarah Langs, a reporter and a producer for MLB.com. Sarah, how you doing this week?
I'm doing great. How are you, Buster?
I'm doing okay. All right. So I was just talking with David Schoenfield about the Cleveland Indians, the Cleveland baseball organization, I should say, and their name change that's clearly looming at this point. So I'm going to throw a bunch of possibilities at you and see what sounds good to you, okay?
Okay.
Wild Things was something I saw on social media. Of course, a reference to the movie Major League. Four Cities, which David really likes. It surprised me. Cleveland Rocks. Charlie Steiner was the one who mentioned that first that I saw. Cleveland Rockers. Cleveland Blues. Another tip of the cap to some of the Indians' history. The Cleveland Spiders. You know that team's place in history. Yes. The Cleveland Dobies, reference to Larry Doby. Lake Shores. And I threw out of my own Lake Monsters. You know, that's the name of the minor league team up in Burlington, Vermont. We don't know what's going to happen with that team. There is a theoretical Lake Monster, a legend of a Lake Monster in Lake Erie. So those are some possibilities. I think Phil Hughes over the weekend threw out the Midges. mentioning the Jabba Chamberlain game when Midges came out and covered his face. I don't think that's a serious option. Among those, which ones interest you the most?
Well, I've been partial to the music history of Cleveland, and I like the rockers. I hadn't seen that yet. I've seen rocks a couple times, and I think that that just invites towards too much derision. You know, oh, they stink.
When they make
rocks,
a mistake on a defensive play.
Exactly.
When they make a mistake on a defensive play, it's a rockhead play.
Exactly. But of course, you know, I love the history. So I love the idea of the spiders. However, I found a spider in the hallway of my apartment building like the day this all started. And I was just thinking, I don't know if I can handle spiders and seeing the logo and everything. But I love the nod to history there. And I do really like the conversation that's gone on about Dobies and potentially like a nod to Larry Doby. I don't know about really the practicalities of a team named after a player's last name in that way, but all of those are great to me. I love the Lake Monsters idea. I didn't know there was a myth about a lake monster in Lake Erie, and I'm glad I didn't know that last time I was in Cleveland, or I would have been a little scared. So
you're not a spider. You're not a spider person.
Not really. No, not really a bugs person in general.
Taylor, you got a little spider issue, or no, you're good with spiders?
No, actually, I recorded my basement here, so we get a lot of spiders, and oftentimes I will just let them live. I'm actually looking at one right now on my ceiling because they eat the mosquitoes. Although once they start spinning a big web and lay a bunch of eggs, that's when they have to go.
I love spiders. Like growing up in a, you know, on a farm, out in the barn, spiders all over the place. And so people go, oh, my God, that's a huge spider. I'm like, no, that's not a huge spider. You should have seen the spiders that I grew up with out in the barn in the hayloft. I actually have no problem with spiders. I think that's what the team name is going to turn out to be, Sarah. So, you know,
what it should be.
Soon you might have some sort of piece of memorabilia with a spider on it.
I'll deal with that when I get there. I do think it's probably the best idea with the history and everything. But I'm a city kid. I am the complete opposite of you in the barn marveling at the spiders. I was the kid who was at my grandmother's house in California seeing a spider and being terrified, and my mother having to explain to me why they help the ecosystem so much and you should like spiders because they keep the other bugs out. I had a lot of trouble with that concept.
Didn't Charlotte's Web change your perspective at all? I'm assuming you read that.
I did read it. I loved the book, but it did not help.
All right. Okay, a couple players have dropped out already, prominent players. David Price was part of the big trade that the Dodgers made during the course of the wintertime, along with Mookie Betts. From an on-field perspective, how much does the loss of David Price mean to Los Angeles Dodgers?
Yeah, I think it means a lot for that rotation. I think that, you know, he was perceived as a little bit of the salary dump throw-in in that trade, but if you really look at his numbers, he should have been better last year for the Red Sox. He had a 4.28 ERA, but a 3.62 FIP, which tells us that there may have been something amiss with the defense behind him, something else like that contributing, which you have to believe would have been better in Los Angeles. Very good defensive team, very good team with positioning and everything like that. So I was expecting him to have some sort of bounce back year, maybe not the David Price of old, but certainly better than he's been the last 2 years for the Dodgers, and that was going to be their number three starter. So, you know, their depth chart now has Urias listed in the third spot and Alex Wood in the fourth spot, but I would guess that they're trying to replace into his spot in number three in the rotation. It seems like Ross Stripling is, you know, a guy who is expected to potentially take on that spot. I know his name was mentioned yesterday. He's had some issues with durability. We know that in the past, but obviously that's less of an issue in this shortened season. So that's a good thing for the Dodgers. And, you know, he's been a really solid pitcher in the time that he has pitched in these last 4 years now. He has a 3.51 career ERA. He's just under 400 career innings pitched at this point, 380 plus. So, I mean, I remember in the offseason when he almost got traded to the Angels, it was, oh, wow, the Angels really upgraded their rotation here by getting him. So I think that, you know, if you view him from that perspective, that could help them fill that void. But definitely a pretty big loss for that rotation.
Yeah. And with Ryu leaving, I just feel like the depth is more of a question mark for the Dodgers than it has been in recent years. In terms of their options in their rotation. What about Ryan Zimmerman making the decision to walk away from his deal with the Nationals this year?
Yeah, I think Zimmerman is a little bit of a different case in terms of the on-field impact. I mean, he did only play 52 regular season games last year, injuries and everything else. But he's also, you know, the franchise cornerstone. He's played in every season that has existed since they moved to Washington, D.C., obviously, and the intangibles and being that clubhouse leader. I think that that's probably where, you know, the biggest void will be seen, although I'm sure he will be in touch with the team and all of that. But that Eric Thames signing, you know, looks even better for the Nationals now. And, you know, I assume it'll be Eric Thames and Howie Kendrick splitting time at first base. And both of those guys playing in sort of a part-time type of role is probably good for them. So I'm not sure in terms of the actual production, but they'll definitely be missing him.
Freddie Freeman, we got word over the weekend that he is sick. He has coronavirus. Brian Snitker, the manager of the Braves, talked about him being out a while. Freddie Freeman was not right physically in the last month and in the postseason. I thought we got a preview maybe for, you know, what the absence of Freddie Freeman would mean for the Braves if he's not able to play in the postseason last year because of the issue that he was having. He was really affected.
Yeah, I mean, I think that part of his importance to that Braves offense is simply his presence. I mean, he played in 158 games last year. As you said, he wasn't really right for all of them, but he was there for almost every single game. He played in 162 games the year before. Only Ozzie Albies played in more games than him last year. He was second on the team in hits and home runs. Every sort of counting stat, he's right towards the top. He led the team in RBIs, 121. He had 15% of the team's RBIs. He led in slugging percentage. He led in total bases. And, you know, I think that, as you mentioned, with the Dodgers rotation losing Ryu, part of the issue for the Braves offense, if Freddie were not to be able to play, is a similar thing where they already lost Josh Donaldson with him signing with the Twins. And a combination of Donaldson and Freddie Freeman were basically top four or five in almost every offensive category for the Braves last year. So if you're now missing two of those producers instead of just one, it's a whole different ballgame.
All right, Sarah. Thanks for your time. Good to talk with you.
Thanks so much for having me, Buster.
Bleacher Tweets.
All ready, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for this fine Monday post 4th of July weekend. PK Steinberg up first, coming off the top rope. Will Major League Baseball just call the whole thing off if enough star players opt out and or test positive?
PK, yes. The answer is yes. I just don't think there's necessarily a hard number where they would reconsider their plans. I mentioned over the weekend when I did some television that everyone's watching and everyone's paying attention in the game and everyone's wondering the next name to come. And I do feel like, until I don't know if you agree with me, I feel like if one player gets really sick or worse, that would really change the context for folks in baseball.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of a weird question all around sports where it's like, what are we willing to tolerate? I think as a society, we shouldn't tolerate any of this. But I think that's because of that's where we are as a country and dealing with the coronavirus. That's how things are going to be framed going forward. So one is probably enough to do it. But, you know, you may see player, it's all on the players. You know, if most of them are like, you know, this is the risk we're taking, they might press on. But I think you're probably right. If a handful of people get sick, like really sick, that would be disastrous.
Yeah, it would be. And by the way, I should have mentioned in the open some news of some other folks also leaving. Brad Mills, the longtime bench coach for Terry Francona with the Cleveland Indians, he's decided to step away. Eric Young, who I worked with in Baseball Tonight, is stepped away from his role as the Braves first base coach. And I think there are going to be more people leaving. And from what I hear, there's some big names who've also tested positive for the coronavirus. Those names have not gotten out yet.
Yeesh. Well, this kind of ties in, quote unquote, nicely, relatively speaking, with Amy Chapman's question. She writes in your conversations with broadcasters, how do they feel about potentially covering baseball in person? Any health and safety concerns? Do you think any would opt out if they were told to cover a team in person versus remotely? And I know we've talked about this behind the scenes a little bit. So your perspective here is super important because you can speak to it directly.
Yeah, and I haven't gotten formal marching orders from ESPN. I know they're talking about potentially, doing some broadcasting. They've done KBO from home. You know, that's certainly an option. I live in the Northeast. If there's a game at Yankee Stadium or if there's a game at Citi Field or in Boston or down in Washington, Philadelphia, I'd have no problem making that drive. If they told me to get on a flight, I would get on a flight. I know firsthand that there are other broadcasters, not at ESPN, but working with teams who are reluctant, given their health history and given their age. And I think we're going to be hearing about that, about some broadcasters making the decision not to participate at the ballpark.
Let's lighten the mood for the last Bleacher tweet of the day. Kevin Larkin at KLark24 writes in honor of Taylor's 4th of July post, I was out there smoking some pork shoulders. He writes in, would love to know what prep and seasoning you use for that pork shoulder. I myself use a little honey and brown sugar with my rib rub, honey mainly to keep it moist while cooking. You guys can listen to way more about this on my new podcast, Hogcast. Not really. I just use some standard Stubbs barbecue rub for that one because I was cooking for a bunch of different people, so I don't like to get too crazy. I have the brand is called Rub Some Butt Barbecue Seasoning. I use the Carolina variety if I'm just making something for myself at home. But the honey, interesting move there. I think maybe experimenting with something like that could be next on my list.
You know, I've never been a big pork person. I don't know why. I just never liked it. I mean, we actually raised pigs on the farm that, you know, we would butcher every year for the bacon, but I never really liked pork that much. But that's your thing, huh?
Yeah, I like pulled pork's easy for a crowd. I'm a big ribs guy. What did you have anything tasty for over the 4th of July holiday, Buster? Anything good you whip up in the kitchen?
You know, you had the usual, you know, burgers on 4th of July, some hot dogs, and I made some mashed potatoes and peas. I make the best mashed potatoes in the world.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yep.
That does it for Bleacher Tweets.
Everyone acknowledged that, by the way. There was a poll, national poll done over the weekend. Yes, I make the best mashed potatoes.
Glad you're thriving there. Eggs, mashed potatoes. You're becoming
Whipple ball.
Oh, nice. Nice. Thanks for listening, everyone. Subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Yeah, and that's it for today. My thanks to Taylor, to Sarah, to David. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on race are things we should fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.